process flow of the post shipment credit. Process flow is nothing but right from the start till the realization. How the process is handled is depending upon whether the transaction is backed by the letter of credit or not, collection basis or open account. This is all coming together and generalized as standard flow of process. Now, step by step process consists of: one is a shipment of the goods. Exporter ships the goods, maybe under letter of credit, document against payment, document against acceptance, or open account, or maybe on consignment basis. Number two is preparation of the export document. Once the goods are shipped, there is a time for the exporters to prepare the DIP. It may ranges from 7 days to 15 days. Within that period, the exporter prepares the complete set of the shipping document and commercial document, such as commercial invoice, packing list, bill of lading or airway bill, certificate of origin, inspection certificate, insurance certificate, export declaration form, that is EDF, and any other document as per the LC or contract. Number three step is submission of the document to the bank. The whole bunch of the document or lot of document exporter submits to his bank. Usually it is called as a AD banks, authorized dealer bank, for the purpose of negotiate, purchase or discount as the case may be. Negotiate under LC, purchase when the documents are drawn at site, discount when the documents are drawn at usance, and send on collection basis if not under LC, and request an advance against export receivable for incentives. Next step is the bank appraisal and credit sanction. The bank evaluates compliance and the LC contract, exporter's creditworthiness, previous track record if any, then overdue bills after checking into the EDPMS platform, and availability of the credit insurance from the ECGC coverage, and if found satisfactory, the bank provides immediate credit to the exporter, either in INR or in foreign currency as the case may be, charges the interest as per the RBI norms with interest subvention if applicable. And the next step will be forwarding these documents. The bank who receives the document from the exporter is a remitting bank. These banks remit the document or forward the document to LC issuing bank in case of it is drawn under LC, foreign buyer bank in case of DA or DP basis, buyers directly in case of open account or consignment. Next step after forwarding the document is waiting for realization of export proceeds. The foreign buyer makes the payment as per the agreed terms at site, means immediate payment when the documents are drawn at DP, on maturity when the documents are drawn at document against acceptance, and upon presentation if it is under LC. The foreign bank remits the funds to the Indian bank via SWIFT or TT transfer. Seventh is settlement on adjustment. Upon receipt of the export proceeds from the foreign banks, the bank adjusts the post-shipment credit against the realized amount. Any balance is credited to the exporter's account, any left-out balance, right? And in case of non-realization, the exporter must repay the advance with applicable interest. Then, issuance of the bank realization certificate. Once the funds received from the foreign bank is appropriated by the bank in India, that is of exporter's bank, once the payment is received, the AD bank generates an EBRC, that is electronic blank realization certificate, on DGFT portal. this EBRC is the key document for the purpose of claiming the government incentive under RODTEP or RYSCLT, etc. Complete export documentation life cycle. Avoid block listing in EDPMS. Here is the process flow. You can very well see what are the steps, seven steps I have mentioned, seven or eight steps that you can very well look into this. This is only the summarized in the diagramic presentation form. Now, you have to, the special note is that the ECFC, that is export credit in foreign currency, credit is extended in foreign currency and repayment is done in the same currency. Bank must report all the export credits and realization under EDPMS within stipulated timelines. If proceeds are not realized within the prescribed timeline, the account becomes overdue and the interest is charged at the commercial lending rate. Now, digital enhancement in 2024-25. ICEGATE, EDPMS, DGFT portals for real-time tracking have been integrated with the bank's system. Then automated BRC generation, EBRC. Then digital upload of the shipping document at the end of the customs itself, enabled through the bank portal to the fintech interfaces. Smart contracts and the blockchain-based negotiations under the pilot stage for secure and fast post-shipment financing. Risk and risk mitigation mechanism. Post-shipment credit involves inheritance financial risk, operational risk, geopolitical risk, as the payments are typically realized after the goods have been shipped to the overseas buyer. Then only risk arises, no. So managing this risk effectively is a very crucial for the exporters, banks and supporting institutions like ECGC. We categorize this risk and explore the industry standard and strategy and regulatory tools used for mitigating types of risk in post-shipment credit. One is the credit risk. Buyer becomes insolvent, refusal to pay the due quality dispute, and import restriction in buyer's country. This is covered under credit risk. Country and political risk. This risk arising from political or economic instability in the importer's country, like sudden change in the importer's law, important law or import law, foreign exchange restrictions placed by the government in that country, war, revolution or civil unrest. Exchange rate risk. Whenever there is an adverse movement of currencies, it affects the value of the realization process. Especially, it is relevant in the export credit in foreign currency or when the payments are expected in violate the currencies or in volatile currencies. Payment is expected in volatile currency, not violate currency. Documentation risk. Errors in the document will be the document currency. Rejection under letter of credit may happen. There may be delay or non-realization of payment. There may be legal liability in foreign jurisdiction due to incorrect or discrepant document. Now, operational risk. Operational risk is happening due to mismatch in EDPMS and ICEGATE data. Delay in submission of document. Incorrect invoice or the bank details. Next risk is legal and compliance risk, which is a violation of trade regulation, AML KYC norms, or contractual obligation scenario. Scenarios are non-adherence to the RBI FEMA guidelines, failing to report the realization of to EDPMS, contravening UCP 600 or URC 522 guidelines. Risk mitigation strategy. After covering, looking at this risk, we can come to the mitigation strategy. What is the mitigation strategy? Number one, use the letter of credit. This reduces both credit and political risk. Use ECGC insurance cover. This protects against the commercial and political risk. Creditworthiness check. Banks or exporters should evaluate the buyer's reliability by using trade reference, Dun & Bradstreet or COFES or CRIF, Global Credit Reports, past transaction performance on EDTBMS. These things need to be checked while checking the creditworthiness of buyer or creditworthiness of exporter. Hedging against the exchange risk. Use forward contract, options and currency swaps to lock the favorable exchange rate. Then automated documentation and reconciliation. Ensure timely matching of shipping bill, EBRC in DGFT and ICEGATE. Use factoring and forfeiting, because export factoring without recourse shift the risk to the factor, and in forfeiting allows exporters to receive the upfront cash while transferring the risk to the forfeiters. Legal contract and arbitration process. Clearly drafted sales contract incorporating the INCO terms governing the law and dispute resolution clauses must be incorporated in the legal contracts. Monitoring overdue and EDPMS. Bank must track the report overdue bills regularly. Exporters with a frequent delay may restrict from the further credits. Regulatory and institutional risk control. RBI through the EDPMS, DGFT and custom integrated reporting ensures all this real time visibility of the shipping bill and realization event. The early warning system covers under the recent development in 2024 to 2025, where banks for high risk buyers, this has been automated, that is early warning system, EWS. Digital ECGC claim management portal is launched. This is also another development. And artificially intelligent driven credit scoring, which is integrated in FinTech invoice discounting platform, is also the recent development. Now, role of export credit agencies. This role we have already seen in pre-shipment credit also, but as far as the post-shipment is concerned, the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation, that is ECGC, which is a primary export credit agency in India. And there are certain other agencies in different countries like ECA, such as export credit agencies such as UK Export Finance, Exim Bank USA, or Euler Hermes in Germany serve as similar functions. Here we highlight how the export credit agencies, especially the ECGC, facilitate to secure and sustainable post-shipment financing. Objective of export credit agencies. One is encourage international trade by protecting exporters and the banks against commercial and political risk. Second, improve the credit availability for the exporters, especially MSMEs. Third, promote the confidence in cross-border transactions and help the bank to comply with Basel Capital Adequacy Norm by covering the credit risk. Next objective of the ECGC is to or shipment credit insurance for bank, known as whole turnover post shipment credit guarantee. This will be issued by ECGC for the post shipment guarantee, whole turnover post shipment guarantee for the bank as a whole, covers banks against loss of export proceeds due to buyer's default or political risk, and this is issued on portfolio basis, not on individual bills. Encourages the banks to lend more confidently, especially in new and risky markets. Coverage includes insolvency of the buyer, default in repayment beyond the due date, and political risk like war, restriction, exportation, etc. Now, exporters' policy. Policies will be issued to the exporter to coverage. There are various types of policies issued to the exporter, like shipment comprehensive insurance policy that is given. It is particularly it is relevant to DA or DP or open account basis exports. Then specific shipment policy, it is designed for contract involving the large single shipment or the project export, tailored project export, tailored coverage for high value exports. Then role in enabling the factoring and forfeiting. ECGC's policy enables the factoring companies and forfeiters to discount the export receivable confidently. It enhances the liquidity for the exporters. And next one is a contribution to EDPMS monitoring. ECGC integrates with RBI's EDPMS portal by flagging the covered shipments and claims. This encourages the disciplined monitoring and overdue bills and realization in timelines, claim settlement and recovery. ECGC ensures the timely settlement of the claim in case of the payment of default, enabling exporters or banks to remain solvent and not insolvent. Actively pursues the recovery through the diplomatic, legal, and arbitration mechanism internationally. Benefit of ECGC to the post-shipment finance for exporters and banks. There are various benefits which are provided. That is, first benefit is the risk mitigation, better access to credit, competitive advantage, business expansion support, and claims and recovery support for exporters and for banks. There are various clauses. You can very well go through this and determine yourself and understand. This is just a summary of whatever we have discussed. In recent development, what ECGC has done, they have launched a digital claim portal and faster e-policy issuance. So integration with the custom DGFC and banking system for seamless policy activation. New product under discussion of ECGC is credit guarantee scheme for invoice discounting platform and reinsurance tie-ups with the global ECAs for high value shipments. Accounting and settlement of the post shipment credit. Accounting and settlement is a crucial process for the post shipment credit, which ensures that the proper recording and export transaction or disbursal of the export finance and adjustment on the realization of the export proceeds. The key accounting entries settlement mechanism is as under. Accounting treatment in the books of the bank. Once the bank grants the post-shipment credit to an exporter, whether by way of purchase, discounting or negotiation, it reflects this transaction in its book as an advance and must monitor it until the proceeds are realized. Okay. The key accounting entries covers here. Debit and credit entries pertains to the transactions is shown here in this table. So first transaction, disbursement of the post-shipment credit. What is to be debited? Debit, export finance account, and credit, exporter's current account. Receipt of export bill proceeds, that means realization. Nostro account of the bank, foreign, and export finance account of the loan and assets. Interest accrual, if not prepaid, exporter's account debit, interest receivable, and interest income account should be credited. Realization of the bill, if it is a partial or a full, debit nostro account or settlement account, and credit loan account or suspense account. And write-off in case of default, debit provision for NP account and credit to the export finance account. Bank follow RBI's prudential norms on income recognition, asset classification and provisioning for export advances. Accounting in exporter's book. It's a different story altogether, similar manner as I explained earlier, by under the accounting standard IND AS 21. The following in the table, whatever accounting entries are shown, those entries are to be undertaken by the exporter. Settlement of the post-shipment credit. Mode of settlement. Settlement may be telegraphic transfer, SWIFT, MT103 or 202, and bank draft, international checks. The proceeds are credited to the exporter EEFC account or rupee account and adjusted against the outstanding credit. Loan adjustment. On realization, the bank automatically adjusts the outstanding post-shipment advance. If realized amount is greater than the advance, then surplus is credited to the exporter's account. If it is less than advance granted, then exporter must pay the shortfall with interest. Then unpaid or overdue bills. What the treatment should be given? If the export bill is not realized within the prescribed period, typically within 270 days to 9 months, it becomes overdue and the exporter must provide a reason and apply for the extension. As I said earlier also, repay the advance at commercial lending rate if extension is not approved. Then reporting and compliance. EDPMS compliance. Banks must update the EDPMS, Export Data Processing Monitoring System, with shipping bill number, bill amount and currency, realization date and amount, BRC generation status. BRC, Bank Realization Certificate. Upon realization, bank issues an EBRC to the DGFT via online transmission. EBRC is essential for duty drawback, GST refund and export incentive applications. Then Foreign Exchange Management Act. Realization of the export proceeds must be within 9 months, extendable by RBI or AD approval. Delay beyond this period may lead to cancellation of export benefit. Penal action will be initiated under FEMA. Classification of export account as NPA. And handling of write-off settlement. RBI allows the write-off of unrealized export bills under the certain conditions, that is loss of goods, buyer's bankruptcy, etc. ECGC covered the bill are settled after ECGC pays the claim and the bank shares the recovery. Next one is integration with a digital platform. Core banking system of the bank is integrated with EDPMS, DGFT and ICEGATE. Auto matching of export data across the system ensures that faster BRC issuance, real-time loan monitoring and automated alert to the overdue credits. Now, international guidelines. Post-shipment finance covers under international guidelines, and these guidelines ensure the uniformity, transparency and legal protection for exporters, importers and financing banks across the different jurisdiction. There are two primary international rules apply. URC 522, Uniform Rules for Collection, and UCP 600, Uniform Rules for Practice for Documentary Credit. Now, URC 522 rule applies when the exporter sends the document through the banks for collection from the importer. From the importer. Regulator, it regulates presentation of the document by banks, rights and responsibility of the remitting, the collecting banks, and handling instruction and the handling instructions and disputes. This is covered under URC 522, Uniform Rules for Collection, issued by International Chamber of Commerce, publication number 522. This also ensures the clarity in payment terms, especially when the credit is extended. Credit is extended. For example, DA terms involve the post-shipment finance based on the buyer's acceptance. Then its relevance to the post-shipment finance. Bank discounts the purchase and advance bills drawn under URC 522 rules. Protect the bank and exporters by providing the standard norms for document handling and dishonor procedures. UCP 600, that is Uniform Rules for Uniform Customs and Practices for Documentary Credit, UCP. The key features of UCP 600 consist of it standardizes issuance and advising of LC, examination of the document, timelines for the payment, acceptance or negotiation. It also allows negotiation of the document under complying ELC by nominated banks. Relevance to the post-shipment finance consists of bank provide the post-shipment credit by negotiation of the document under a valid ELC. If ELC terms are met, the negotiating bank is entitled to reimbursement by issuing the bank. Offers exporters greater payment security and banks are assured of the settlement if the documentation is complied with. 522 and 522, URC 522 and UCP 600 is compared here, where it is in respect of the aspect like instrument, risk level, bank involvement, financing implication and legal status. So this is how exactly, what are the type of instruments used under URC 522, applicability, and UCP 600, risk level higher or lower, then bank involvement is there or not, financing implication is there or not, and legal status is decided. In short, after comparing the content of UCP 600 and URC 522, for a little bit more understanding, this table is prepared. Other international standards, ISBP 745. ISBP means International Standard Banking Practices. Publication number 745 by International Chamber of Commerce. This is a companion of UCP 600. And here it provides the detailed guidelines on how bank examines the document under ELC. This is uniform across all the world. So there is no chance of pointing out any discrepancy. Okay. It enhances the document compliance and avoids the discrepancies that could delay the post-shipment finance. Then Incoterms. So we have separate chapter for that. While not directly linked to the finance, Incoterms defines who bears the risk and cost at a different stage of transit. It affects the documentation, especially bill of lading, which bank scrutinizes before financing. Latest development consists of risk management, areas like risk management, digitalization, and regulatory compliance. Enhanced digital integration in trade finance consists of EDPMS integration, integration of the bank system with EDPMS, ICEGATE, DGFT. This enables the real-time tracking, as I have stated earlier also. Then EVRC is auto generation and reporting to facilitating to avail the concessions from the government under RODTEP and GST. Digitalized ECGC operations. consist of online policy issuance and renewal, e-claim submission and tracking, and real-time policy status update for banks. Launch of ECGC's export factoring scheme. To address the working capital need of the MSME exporters, ECGC introduced a non-recourse export factoring scheme in collaboration with select banks and fintech platform. This enables the post-shipment liquidity even under open account turn. This is supported by insurance-backed risk cover on foreign buyer. Policy shift by the Reserve Bank of India liberalized the export credit limit. RBI enhanced the post-shipment credit limit to encourage the Indian exporters to compete in long-tenure export market. Revised caps for export bills were introduced for sectors like pharmaceuticals, electronics, and processed foods. Export credit interest subvention scheme, which is extended till 2026, offers 2% to 3% interest subvention on the export credit to MSME and priority sector lending. Revised prudential norms for the overdue export advances. RBI issues the clarification on NPA classification timelines. Post-shipment finance is to be classified as NPA only after 180 days from the due date if extension is there. Rise in use of fintech platform. MSME specifically for the trade receivable and discount system, TREDS, is used by the MSME, invoice discounting system by NBFC. These platforms allows the exporters to liquidate the export bill quickly through the competitive bidding and banks and NBFCs, enhanced by the GSTIN, PAN and EDPMS linkages. Increase in importance of ESG and the compliance requirement. Banks and ECA are gradually aligning the post-shipment credit with environmental, social, and governmental norms. Exporters involved in high-risk sectors are subject to stricter due diligence. That is why ECGC and Exim banks are assessing new ESG compliant rating model for export credit. What is important is the environmental, social, and governance norm, ESG norms. Bilateral and multilateral export credit. India signed trade pacts with the trade facilitation agreement under FTA, foreign free trade agreement framework with the UAE, Australia, and the European Union also. Export credit lines are now supported through Exim Bank of India to Africa, Latin America. Export credit insurance treaties with the foreign ECAs like Euler, Hermes, and FACE for co-guarantee the structure. Global events impacting the post-shipment credit risk. Events like Russia-Ukraine war or Red Sea disruption, this is creating the geopolitical tension, which has led to higher insurance premium, selective risk coverage of the ECGC for high-risk market, increased preference for LC-backed transactions over the open accounts in volatile geographies. So friends, here we completed our discussion on post-shipment finance under export financing. Thank you very much.